fueled by powerful Santa Anita winds.
We want to get right to California wildfire scientists as well as forest and fire ecologists. Chad Hansen. Chad, good morning. Thank you for joining us. We just heard from someone in our last break who is living through this. We're hearing about tens of thousands of acres. We're hearing about 100-plus wind gusts coming out of the Santa Ana area. Explain how all of this is coming together and contributing to what is now becoming a historic wildfire. Not one wildfire, but three now burning out of control.
Yeah, we had this combination of conditions. We have a very, very dry start to the winter, very little precipitation in the fall, early winter so far. And we have these Santa Ana wind events that happen in the fall and sometimes into early winter like this, where you get this combination and extreme winds, very, very dry conditions, and it is ripe for rapid spread of fires. And of course, we have communities in harm's way.
Chad, there is zero containment right now. That's the report we're hearing. So if they call you right now to try to describe how you stop something like this as you're battling this, even bringing in more reinforcements, 1,400 more firefighters, what do you tell them? How are they battling this right now?
Yeah, that's a really, really important question. I think the answer is that when you have extreme fire weather like this, and you have these really dry conditions, and you have these extreme winds, they can't stop the fire. They really can't. What they can do, and I think this is what firefighters are focusing on primarily, and this is right, this is a good thing, is helping people evacuate safely and trying to keep people safe. And where they can, they're trying to do structure defense too, but their priority is just saving lives. And that's as it should be, because there are so many people in harm's way. You know, these are fundamentally weather events, weather and climate events, you know, like hurricanes, essentially. And you can't fight a wind gust that's 60 or 100 miles an hour.
You know, Chad, we were just seeing video of some people sitting on the side of the road with their dogs. We're also hearing stories of people evacuating their homes. There's people with what they can get in their luggage, appliances, whatever they can bring. We're also hearing of people having to leave horses, you know, some of their horses, some of their livestock literally behind to fend for themselves. Have you ever seen anything like this? And you're the expert. You have the expertise in these areas. Have you seen anything like this?
Well, we have seen some circumstances like this, but not many. And, you know, they're the circumstances that, you know, we all, we still think about them with a heavy heart. You know, we think about what happened in Lahaina, and we think about what happened in the town of Paradise and the campfire in 2018. And, you know, these more extreme circumstances, they all happen under, you know, dry, extremely windy conditions, and oftentimes when there are a lot of people with very few evacuation options. And so, you know, this is why, you know, the priority here, our whole priority with wildfire management needs to be focused on saving homes, saving lives first and foremost. And we need better evacuation planning, better evacuation assistance, and a lot more, you know, support for people to make their homes more fireproof. And it really does make a difference. But sometimes these fires are catching us off guard.
Yeah.
Chad, we're seeing a live look right now of Los Angeles. The sun is coming up. People are aware, obviously, of what's going on because of the coverage. Zero containment, like we said a minute ago. Trying to figure out how to contain this. Is it simply about the weather changing, getting warmer out there, getting cooler? Obviously, there's a water shortage. How do you get a grip on this and say, all right, this is the plan for the day? Now that the sun is up, we can see a little bit better.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the fire behavior is really going to be, you know, dictated by and driven by the weather. When the winds die down, hopefully at some point later in the morning, they will die down. Then the fires will slow and hopefully even stop. You know, in the meantime, the key thing is just trying to keep people safe. There are just so many people and their animals, you know, people with their cats and dogs and horses in some cases. The firefighters are making every effort to get people and their animals out safely. But there's just so many people in harm's way. And that's the big challenge and the big risk right now. Yeah. And so I think it's just a a race against time in a way to try to, you know, save as many people as possible while the winds are still extreme.
We're looking at some of the burning flames right now, and we understand that some of the homes that are built in the higher elevations, a lot of those communities are in extreme danger because we're hearing that some of the tanks that contain the water that they typically use to fight these fires, some of those tanks are drying out. So firefighters, in some cases, don't even have the water they need. Of course, the helicopters can't fly in the high winds to get retardant on some of those fires. And then we hear, on top of that, insurance. A lot of people can't get fire insurance, and a lot of people don't have fire insurance. Can you talk a little bit about some of those challenges?
Yeah, you know, this is, again, after the firefighters have helped people and their animals, you know, evacuate safely, you know, the focus then turns in that area to structure defense. And of course, you know, if there's a lack of water in that area, they can't do that. They can do certain things. They can remove dry grasses next to the houses, but they can't obviously spray water on the house if there's a lack. So and the insurance issue is a big one. I mean, a lot of people are struggling with that. This is going to become an increasingly large issue, and it's a policy issue that needs to be addressed, honestly.
Chad, is it something that we heard the governor earlier say, listen, we've called the president and they're going to bring in resources. What can that extra step of calling the federal government do, if anything, that California is not already doing?
Yeah, I think we can reimagine and shift our wildfire policies. You know, right now, at the state and federal level, our focus is on trying to manage vegetation out in wildlands, you know, removing and managing vegetation. And the thinking there was that would slow or stop a fire and prevent it from reaching a town, you know, miles away. But that hasn't worked out. These are weather and climate events, and the winds are driving these fires, especially in dry conditions. Oftentimes where most of the vegetation was removed, the fires actually spread faster through grasses that have grown in, and they're reaching towns faster. So the point is, I think, that we need to shift our resources and our focus away from those backcountry and wildland vegetation management programs and shift it toward three things: home hardening, making homes more fireproof, defensible space pruning, basically removing dry grasses and shrubs right immediately adjacent to homes, and then evacuation planning and assistance. Communities across the state, across the West, they need that assistance, they need the technical knowledge, and they need support from the state and federal government. We're just focusing on the wrong things right now. And so the good news is, when we focus on the right things, on lives and homes, it's highly effective. And so I think there is hope, but we just need a policy shift, I think.
Yeah, well, it looks like it. You know, you talk about fighting this, focusing on saving lives, protecting lives, rescuing people, the evacuations. We understand that there is somewhat of a manpower shortage. I don't know if you know much about this area, but they hesitate to move the fire crews around too much because we've got three fires burning out of control at the same time. So can you talk a little bit about that challenge with the amount of manpower that is even available to be used to fight these fires?
Yeah, that's a critical issue, and this is a really dangerous time to have a shortage of boots on the ground helping people and their animals safely evacuate, and that really, you know, that has to be the priority here because there's such a need and there's such a risk and a threat, you know, this is another policy issue. You know, there are ways to make sure that we have the personnel necessary and first responders to help people. Obviously, you know, in a circumstance like this, it's extreme because you've got three, like you said, three fires that started within a very short time period of each other. I know these areas well. You know, I grew up in these areas. I know these communities, I hiked many times in the hills and the mountains around these communities. And so, you know, my heart breaks to see what's happening and how people are being impacted in places that I know well.
Yeah, we're seeing video of the embers just flying right through, not making an impact right now with zero containment. Chad Hansen, we appreciate your insight. We appreciate you joining us here on Morning on Merit. Be safe.
Yeah, lots of prayers going out to you and
Thank
that
you.
Entire community. Thank you.
And going back to